Welcome to this audio presentation from St. Charles River Church. Today we have a message that we believe is full of practical and relevant behavioral teaching from God's Word, the Bible. We'd like to invite you to grab a piece of paper and a pen. Take notes as you go through this, looking for a personal application from God to you. Sit back and enjoy as we begin this message.
Thank you. Good morning. You just heard Pastor Barry. Guess what he told me? He told me to say the same thing again. He texted me at around 7 o'clock this morning, and he said, tell our family we love you, we miss you, and we're praying for you. I'm going, you're supposed to be having fun. You're not supposed to be thinking about us, you know, but he's... I guess you can't, it's his baby. It's what God has put in him. That's what makes Barry, Pastor Barry. So this morning, I entitled my message, An Encounter with Jesus. I would like you to take a few seconds. This message is coming from John chapter 4. But, there are several slides. I took the whole works, and we are all going to go through it. But before I do that, I would like you to take a moment and search your soul. Think about that time, the first very time you had an encounter with Jesus. Where were you at? How old were you? What was the vessel? Who did Jesus use? What did God use? Who did he use? Who did he send to you? How did you hear it? Who was with you? Were you all alone? Were you with a family? Were you in a church? Where were you? You truly, truly, the day you truly, truly gave your life to Jesus. How did you feel? What was your feeling? Was some weight taken away from you? Did you feel like you were a brand new person? Did something change? The way you loved, the way you looked at the world? Did something change? I ask you all these questions because we are going to take a journey. It's not just me. I would like us to. You might have heard this message taught in many, many, many different ways. But today, I'm going to put a twist to it. We are all. I've never been to Israel. Never been there. But today, this morning, I would like you to come with me. Let's get into our wagon and let's go to Israel. We are going to go to this particular area called Samaria. I don't know if I'm saying it right. But we're going to go to that area. And we are going to sit a few meters away from Jacob's well. Let's just sit there. It's about midday, and we are sitting there. There are about four characters in this scene that we are going to see. The two main characters I'm going to focus on is the Savior of the world, Jesus, and this nameless Samaritan woman. She is nameless, but Samaritan woman. I'm Anna. I'm from Agu, but I have my name Anna, but she is nameless Samaritan woman. Those are the two main characters we are going to focus on. However, we have the disciples, Jesus' disciples, and then we have the townsmen of Samaria. Now, Jesus was working in Judea. He finished to do what he was doing there. And he decided, I want to go back to Galilee. The only way to get there, he chose to take the route that it takes him through Samaria. And he was walking and walking. It's midday. He's probably sweltering. He's probably hot. He's probably thirsty. He's probably hungry. And he walks through Samaria. The Samaritans, the people in that area, were looked down upon. They were considered not equals. They were not full-blooded Jews. They were a despised class of people. And Jesus is going to pass in that area. And he walked and he came to area where Jacob had given to his son, Joseph. There was a well there that generations used. Jesus was thirsty. There was water there, but he couldn't get that water. So he sat there. He sat there. How many of you think that Jesus could have called his Father in heaven and said, I need heavenly chilled water. I'm thirsty. He could have done that. Why do you think he chose to sit in that well, in that area, especially around a territory where Jews don't go? It's a despised place. People who were there, they were the downcast people, looked down upon, but he chose to sit there. He's God. He could have just called heaven to open and brought him a table, set a table, a feast, but he chose to go there for one reason. So let's sit down and let's watch. There are so many slides, but we're going to go through together. Now, he had to go through Samaria. So he came to a town in Samaria called Sychar. I don't know how to say it, but you told me how to say it a little bit closer. Near a plot of a ground Jacob had given to his son Joseph. Jacob's well was there, and Jesus, tired, and he was from the journey, sat down by the well. It was about the sixth hour. When a Samaritan woman came to draw water, Jesus said to her, give me a drink. At this time, when all this happened, Jesus was alone. There was nobody there. And guess what? This woman came alone. Where I come from, in third world countries, women go to fetch water in groups. I fetched water from the time I was a little girl until I was at 19. Every time it came time to fetch water, girls communicate, women communicate, say, hey, it's time to go get some water, and we walk in groups. There is a reason for that. We tell, we talk, gossip. We meet at the well. Women from the other side of the village come with their news, who is pregnant, who is having a baby. The exchange, that's the place where we meet and exchange ideas or news. But this woman came all by herself. What do you get from that? In my village, if you find a woman doing things alone by herself most of the time, something is wrong. She's either not a very good housewife, not a good mother. She's despised by the community. So something is probably going on with this woman. I don't know. Let's find out. At this time, the disciples had gone to town to buy some food, so Jesus was there alone. The Samaritan woman said to the Savior of the world, "You are a Jew. I'm a Samaritan woman. How can you ask me for a drink? For Jews do not associate with the Samaritans." They don't. Right at seeing at him, she knew, what is this man doing in the well in the first place? Because men naturally, either they are grazing cattle. Jesus didn't have cows and goats. Why is he sitting there? He's a Jew and in a territory where Jews, the last place they go will be that place. But he showed up there. Jesus answered, "If you knew the gift of God and who it is that asks you for a drink, you would ask him and he would give you living water." Living water. By now, I'm sure this woman is thinking, who in the world is this man? This got her thinking, living water. And then she tried to really, I'm sure she talked with an attitude around that place. Living water, what do you mean living water? Let's find out what happened next. But Jesus, full with the Holy Spirit, didn't respond to her with that attitude of someone up here talking to a Samaritan. He responded to her with a different tone. She continued, "Sir," said the woman, "you have nothing to draw, and the well is deep. Where can you get this living water? Are you greater than our father Jacob, who gave us this well and drank from the well himself, as he did his sons, his folks, and the herds?" Jesus answered, "Everyone who drinks this water will be thirsty again. But whoever drinks the water I give him will never thirst. Indeed, the water I give will become in him spring water welling up to eternal life." The woman said to him, "Sir, give me that water so that I won't get thirsty and have to keep coming here to draw water." He told her, "Go call your husband." As a woman who has collected water again and again, it is hard. You have to pick up a big pot, put on your head, and you have to walk for miles and miles. I don't know how far the town was where this woman walked. I don't know how big her jar was. I walked for miles. And that was another reason why we needed to go together as a group of women, because then other women would help you pick up this big jar and put on your head. Then you would begin walking back again. But this woman came all by herself to get water, and there's a reason why we will find out soon. This woman was still at that point was thinking about that water in the well, the water that Jacob drank and he died, the water her ancestors drank and died. She had not yet caught up with Jesus. She did not understand that she was talking to someone who could have called heaven and given her and had a power in his hands to change her entire life. She had no idea that Jesus was looking through into her soul into everything that she ever did. She had no clue who she was talking to. She had no idea. If she had known, she would have run down that hall and dug out that water and given and even washed him down and did everything to cool him down. But she had no idea. Let's follow the story. This woman was still thinking about that water, but Jesus said, knowing and being having ability to see her from where she came from, he said, go call your husband. Do you know what happened next? She goes, I have no husband. I have no husband. Jesus said to her, yeah, right. When you say you have no husband, the fact is, you have had five husbands, and the man you have is not even your husband. The one you have right now is not your husband. What do you think is going to happen? What do you think is happening? Her head is rotating. This sounds like a different person. She began thinking. That got her thinking. Sir, the woman said, I can see your prophet. Our fathers worshipped on this mountain, but Jews claim the place where to worship is in Jerusalem. Notice how she began changing the story. She began changing. She's trying to distract Jesus. She began comparing the Jews to the Samaritans. Have you ever been to a place where you felt uncomfortable? Have you been invited to a party? And when people began talking, something about salvation, something about Jesus, that's the time you say, gotta go. I gotta go. Or a time when you would say, what did you eat yesterday? What was for dinner? Because you're trying to brush that away. But Jesus had ability. He was straight. He wanted her to hear the truth. He wanted her to know that, lady, if you only knew, you would have asked me. Lady, you need to get straight. Wait, listen. Jesus then revealed. That was the time of revelation. That is the time Jesus told her everything, the reason why he left heaven. Jesus told her the reason why he is sitting there. But the lady was slow. She didn't get it yet. Let's continue. That was the time Jesus declared, believe me, woman, a time is coming when you will worship the Father neither on that mountain nor in Jerusalem. You Samaritans worship what you do not know. We worship what we know, for salvation comes from the Jew. Yet time is coming and has come when the true worshipers will worship the Father in the spirit and truth, for they are the kind of worshipers the Father seeks. God is a spirit, and his worshipers must worship him in the spirit. All Jesus is looking for is a soft, open heart. You have a soft, open heart. It won't take long for Jesus to change. You don't have to try to change anything. You don't have to do anything. The Savior of the world, Jesus himself, and that's the whole purpose. He came to take your rightful place on the cross. He came to reconcile you and me to God. That was the whole reason Jesus came. At this point, this nameless lady had no clue who she was messing with. Jesus declared, "Lady, I who speak to you, I am he. I don't know about you, but if I was the one, I would have held my stomach, probably even thrown up, because I am he." Jesus said, "I am he. I am God, the Christ, everybody has been waiting for." At that time, can you imagine? My imagination was that her eyes were wide open, her ears like a rabbit, her stomach jelling, but heart pumping with excitement. "I am he you are talking to." Her heart was beating first. At that point, I'm going to jump into verse 28. Remember, at that point, it was still Jesus and this woman. When Jesus made his revelation, the disciples walked in. Remember, they are still hungry. It's noon. All that talk, if at all Jesus was all that thirsty, he hadn't gotten a drink yet. No drink yet. They are in this stuff, the heavenly stuff. He is doing his work. He didn't come here for water. Jesus didn't come here for water. He didn't come here for food. He made it all. It was made before creation. It was made through him by him. He came and he passed through Samaria, where the downcast are. He came for the sinful people. He didn't come for water. He didn't come for your gold. You don't have to clean your house for Jesus to come in. He doesn't need that. He needs you the way you are. You don't have to change anything. He needs you. He came here for you. He didn't come for water. He can open heaven. He can just call and it'll be given to him. Let's see what happens next. With that word, "I am he," this lady, I don't know, but in my imagination is, she took off running. She went to her town, to her village, to her country, to her people. "Come, please come. Come with me. Come see the man who told me everything that I ever did." What do you think is happening now in her head? Could this be the Christ? "Come with me. Come, people. Come here, this man. He told me everything I ever did." And yes, they came. They came and they listened. And guess what? Because of her testimony, church, testimony is something very powerful. Because of her testimony, her people came and they listened. And you know what? The reason Jesus came, he came so that you and I, if we did, lift him up through our testimony, through telling people what you have been through, good or bad. You don't have to try to sugarcoat it. Raise it up. And guess what? If you raise Jesus among people, what happens? He will draw them unto himself. That's all he needs to do. He will draw all people to himself. Okay? Next. At that time, the Samaritan woman then went to his people and told her people about what she had experienced, what she saw. I'm going to run out of time. It's a long story. I wanted to go verse by verse and explain to you the whole reason why it so happened. When the Samaritan came to, he urged these people, and they all came, and they followed her, and Jesus, being a God, listened to them. You know what they said? Come. Jesus, come. Can you stay with us? Stay with us. Jesus was doing his work. He stayed with them how many more days? 2 whole days. In a place where Samaritans lived. Jews never lived there. But Jesus was God. He came to his people. He came to the sinful world. He came for this sinful woman. He came for these sinful people. Where are you today? What is your testimony? Like this woman, a testimony. She took that testimony. She had come to the well with a big pot of water to fetch water. She had come with a pot to get water. That weighed her down and she put it down. Church, we need to put down everything that is weighing us down. Whatever it is, leave it with Jesus. Turn around, run to your community, run to your city. Whatever it is, don't sugarcoat your testimony. Is it your ugly past? Shameful? Don't be ashamed of your past. Don't be ashamed of it. Share with the people. Only Jesus can change a heart. You and I can never change anybody. We have very bad habits. We are sinful in nature. If you try to find a good testimony, some of you have been on this earth more than 50 years, more than 60 years. God has given you a test to give your testimony. Use that testimony to draw people to Jesus. Only Jesus can change. You and I cannot change anybody. Use your testimony so that Jesus can use that to bring salvation to people. I am out of time, but I'm going to go through a lesson that we have learned. Number one, God loves you in spite of your sinful nature. He loves you. That is the reason he left heaven. He left heaven because we were dead, condemned of sin. We failed. We ran short of glory. Only through Jesus, you may try as many ways as you can. You may accumulate as much gold, as much silver as you can. You will not take it to heaven. Only through Jesus will you take God to heaven. Number two, only through Jesus can we receive eternal life. Only through Jesus shall we receive eternal life. Number three, God wants us to love one another, including our enemies. God wants us to love one another, including our enemies. There are many people who have wronged you. You opened your heart. You wanted to do the best for those people. Guess what? They did you wrong. You smile up. Smile up and look at heaven and hand them to God. God will multiply and multiply and multiply. He will take care of you. You take care of God's business. God will take care of you. God wants us to worship in him in spirit and truth. I thank God for this building. It's our building where the temple of God comes to worship. You are the temple. This is just a room where we all come and sit and worship to listen, Pastor Barry. But you are the temple. You don't have to come and worship here. Worship God in your spirit. You are the Spirit of God. Okay? I'll repeat it again, the importance of your testimony. No one else knows your testimony but you. You may think, oh, it's something simple. I don't care, like I do. Example, one time I was invited to speak in a certain gathering, and I began to talk about how I walked for miles with a heavy pot on my head to get water. And even that water, it looked like water, but it was not safe enough for human consumption. Cows drank from it, goats drank from it. I gave this testimony, I was just sharing, I thought I was sharing. I had no idea. It was a room full of people, and I saw them crying. I'm just telling you my testimony. 2 years later, these people contacted me. Anna, because of your testimony, I have gone to back to school to get a certificate to become a minister. This is my third journey to Haiti. I'm working on improving ways by which people get water. Testimony, use it. If there is anyone here who has heard what I have said, and he says, yeah, I think I better lay it down and follow Christ and get encounter. If there's anyone here and you have heard everything that I have said, you have tried everything you can all by yourself, you don't know Jesus, I'm not embarrassed. Can you raise your hand? If you want to get Jesus to your heart, remember, an open heart, a soft heart is all it takes without any embarrassment. Okay. Anyone here who says, well, I have been, was saved, but the world knocked me off. Pray for me. I want to do it again without embarrassment. Can you raise your hand? We can pray. Okay, so with your testimony, go reach your community. In Jesus' name.
We hope you found this audio presentation from St. Charles River Church both beneficial and enjoyable. If you're ever in the area, please come by and visit us at 810 Westwood Industrial Park Drive, Weldon Springs, Missouri, 63304. You can also reach us online at www.stcharlesriverchurch.org.